Nova Business Report. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Nova 103.5.
Nankuze has once again taken the government to court, this time seeking a review of the Minister of Environment, Forestry and Tourism's decision to publish in Gazette the new regulations relating to the keeping of large carnivores. To find out how the regulations affect conservation efforts in the country, but also the wildlife, farming and tourism industries, David Bishop speaks to Group CEO Dr. Rudy van Vuren.
I'm speaking today to Dr. Rudy van Vuren from the Nankuze Foundation. Hello, Dr. van Vuren.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the reason we're speaking is because Nankuze is taking the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism to court again. What's this case about?
Well, we're approaching the court for a motion to revise the recently gazetted regulations on the keeping of large carnivores, which the ministry did without consulting any stakeholders. They published these regulations. They are almost impossible to achieve, and it will have very negative effects on the long-term conservation of carnivores in this country. So we're approaching the court with regards to that.
What are some of the recommendations or regulations that they've put forward that will affect everything?
Well, for instance, if you keep large carnivores, now in this country, previously you had to, when you have a lion or a leopard or a hyena or any of the large carnivores, you had to have 1 hectare per carnivore if you keep the animal. So on 28 September, they published these regulations without any sunset period. And the next day, you need to have 5 hectares for a carnivore. So overnight, you have to increase your size of your camp from 1 hectare to 5 hectares, which is virtually impossible. And if you're literally out of the ambit of the law if that doesn't happen. And the other, if you think of the carnivore conservation, none of these regulations are scientifically based. There's no scientific evidence to back it up. A very important thing is that animals that are in rehabilitation for longer than 3 months will then be submitted to the ministry, and the ministry will then send an official to decide what happens to that animal. So in other words, you've got a lion, let's say, classic case that we've been involved with, one of those desert-adapted lions that dies of hunger, gets sent to us. That animal, it takes 6 to 9 months for that animal to get back to a good condition. So over 3 months, then you have to notify the ministry. They will come, and then an official will decide, does the animal need to be put down? Does the animal need to be in permanent captivity? Or does the rehabilitation continue? Now, in my opinion, that's not fair towards the animal, because you need a specialist to make that decision. It's like if one of your family members is in hospital and suffered from a stroke, after 3 months, you ask the nurse, what are we going to do with the patient, instead of asking the neurologist? So from historical cases and case studies, those animals will just be put down. We've got 45 documented cases in the last 10 years where when farmers phone the MEFD and we tell the farmer we can help translocate the animal or collar and release the animal, the MEFD just says kill the animal. We presented the 4 of those cases yesterday, and so many, many carnivores will die because that will be the decision, just put them down. There's a lot of intricacies in those regulations that will really be detrimental to the long-term conservation of carnivores.
There's a lot that I sort of want to touch on there, but if we start off with, like you say, an official comes out, they're not necessarily a specialist. You know, you guys are working with these animals every single day. Do they take any sort of guidance from you, or is it literally just a sort of an autocratic move that you are told what to do?
Yeah, they don't take any advice from us. I'll give you a case study. In September this year, on the 27th of September this year, a farmer in the Omaruru area contacted us. He caught a leopard in a cage, and he said, the typical thing, if farmers call you, they don't want to shoot that animal. He said, well, I don't want to shoot this animal. So our rapid response unit goes out. And let me just state that in the last 15 years, we have done 921 farmer consultations. So our rapid response unit with our veterinarian goes out, consults with a farmer, listens to the history, and then usually what happens, either that animal is released there on the spot, if you can convince the farmer that that certain livestock management techniques needs to improve, or you collar the animal with a GPS collar, release the animal there, and then share the data with the farmer. And that's been hugely successful. It's decreased human carnivore conflict with 80%. Or the animal then can be translocated as a last option. And that needs to happen to a protected reserve where that animal cannot cause problems again. Now, the new regulation requires you to have consent from all your neighbors if you translocate to a protected reserve, which is never going to happen. So you're never going to be able to release an animal. So then you come. We came to the farmer. He agreed that we collar and release. So we collared the animal, released the animal, and start sharing the data with the farmer the next day. 20 days later, we get a call from the neighboring farm who caught this leopard in a catcher cage. And the guy claims that this leopard has caught 10 sheep and 11 goats in 20 days, which is virtually impossible. So we look at the data of the collar, and there's no clustering. And clustering means the animal spends time in a certain position, which is usually indicative of the animal having catched something. So there's no clustering on his farm. So we say to him, look, there's no way this is a problem animal for you. Just release the animal. We will come out, we'll help you with that. He says, no, he'll phone the MET. So he phones the MFT, and the MFT says, no, it's a problem animal. He must shoot it. And he says, no, he's not going to shoot it. They said, no, then we will come out and shoot it. So they drive out to go and shoot this animal, and luckily, the animal managed to escape. So that's the kind of case that we're talking about. So these regulations will just kill the scenario where you can translocate an animal, and it will kill the scenario where an animal can just be released.
I remember sort of way back to my childhood, even, you know, having spent time on game farms and the constant fight with farmers trying to educate them that they don't have to just sort of shoot large carnivores and that they can do things like Nankuse does now. Will these new regulations sort of set that back? Will we see farmers just saying, well, the animal's going to be put down anyway, so I might as well do it?
Yeah, so the new regulations makes provision for rehabilitation facilities to assist in this. So if you want to register as a rehabilitation facility, there's certain criteria. Back in March 2012, the ministry published regulations on how to register as a rehabilitation facility. We applied since 2012 to become a rehab center so that we can assist farmers because the regulations make provision for that. Since 2012, so for 10 years, the ministry has not registered a carnivore rehabilitation center. So they publish the regulations, they give you the guidelines, but they don't register. So that side of the law is closed for any farmer. So it will definitely put us back 10, 20 years in terms of farmer carnivore conflict. Because we did a study on farmers. And we classified them as tolerant, non-tolerant, and semi-tolerant. And the younger farmers who have access to information like the internet and National Geographic, Animal Planet, younger farmers tend to say, no, I don't want to shoot the animal. How can we work this out? And it's been hugely successful over the last 15 years, the way we've done it and worked with farmers. But this is going to set us back 10, 20 years.
So you talk about the rehabilitation centers. I mean, forget the fact that none have actually been registered. I can't imagine that it's a cheap endeavor. And you were talking about having to sort of suddenly expand your camps. We're not talking a normal chicken wire fence here. It's an expensive undertaking.
Yeah, so to expand those camps will take you at least 8 months in the first place. And secondly, in our case, we don't have that many animals in captivity, carnivores, because captivity is the absolute last resort. It will cost us about $1.2 million to just increase the size of the camps. We ourselves spend about $3.5 million on our rapid response unit per year reaching out to farmers, building kraals, putting collars on, monitoring animals post-release, sharing the information with farmers. We've got a full team working on that. We have a massive database. And it's just flabbergasting that the ministry doesn't consult and say, you guys work with us every single day. Let's see how we can make these regulations work for conservation.
You're talking about working with it every single day, and I'm sure lots of us have seen on the internet and seen the success stories that, Nankusa has had with sort of relocating and releasing. I remember watching a video with cheetahs being released. It's sort of amazing to see them going out and getting that freedom again. Just maybe list some of your successes for us over the years, what Nankusa has actually achieved.
Well, I think the relocation of the desert adapted lions in the last 2 years, we've relocated 9 desert adapted lions. And if I can interrupt myself here, let me make it clear, they are very good people within the ministry. And when you work with those good people in the ministry, there's success stories for conservation. Unfortunately, there's one or two very bad people in that ministry, and they are the people behind these regulations as well. But those desert adapted lions were on the verge of dying, some because of starvation, some because the communities threatened to kill them, and there was human carnival conflict, and some of them because they were injured and old. Those nine lions were translocated to Namibia. It took on average 6 to 9 months to get them back into condition, and they are now released either on the Zania Reserve or Tembila Reserve, and they are isolated populations, so they can always be translocated back to the northwest where they come from. So that's a success story. That animal was on the verge of dying and now has a second chance.
To get back to the court case just before we end off, what would Nankusa like to see as the culmination of the case?
We would like to see the ministry say, look, let's sit down, let's revise the regulations, let's make them evidence-based. Let's take the science, let's take the history, let's take the data, and let's make regulations that works for conservation. These are not regulations supposed to police people. These are regulations to enhance conservation. And so that's what we would like to see, that the minister says, no, maybe we made a mistake. We didn't consult. We didn't listen. We didn't take input. There's no evidence. Let's revise them and do them over.
Speaking of consultative, I mean, Is there any other support? Do you have any other backers? I mean, Nankusa is not the only party that will be affected by this law, I suppose.
Well, I think there's very often this perception that if you take on government, there's consequences for you. And that's true. They put a massive target on you. The moment you take government to court, you must remember there's consequences for you. And many of these organizations, many of them have spoken to me and said, we're just too scared to do it. We don't want to be involved taking the Ministry of Environment to court because we know there are certain people in that ministry that's very malignant. And we're not scared of that. We're fighting for what's right. They have tried to vilify us and they have put targets on us. But, if you fight for what's right, we've seen it in history, then you must bear the consequences as well.
Well, I wish you all the best and thank you for coming in and chatting to us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
It's the Business Report with Gary Strubel.